1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Select locations are now open. Come experience the big screen again in a safe and comfortable environment. Purchase tickets and order food in advance at MarcusTheaters.com or on the Marcus Theaters mobile app. Your seat is waiting.
Here's the guy we're looking for. Ladies and gentlemen, our music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you today?
Very well. Before we get into your, Gary always sends us a list of topics because he knows we're not very good at this. It's true. You prep us.
Try to keep track of a lot of things around here.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Somebody writes in and says, this week I watched two episodes, a biography on A&E. One was The Nine Lives of Ozzy Osbourne. The other was I Want My MTV.
Yeah, they were back-to-back on Tuesday night, I think.
I enjoyed them both. Can you ask Gary if he saw them, and if so, what he thought of them? Signed, Kevin from Brookfield.
Hi, Kevin. I saw the Aussie. They had sent a screener of that out in advance. The MTV I have to catch up to. I thought the Aussie was very good. It was authorized, you know. He participated, and so did the family. But, you know, he's always been good about, you know, pretty much saying what happened. And I thought that special conveyed that. So now I enjoyed that, and I'm looking forward to the MTV.
What do you enjoy more, authorized or unauthorized?
It depends. You know, authorized is always great if the subject is being truthful. And I would say that's a, I don't know, you bat about 300 on those, you know.
Well, I mean, Ozzy, I don't know how to put it right. What, Ozzy really has no shame? I mean, he's
an open book. I mean,
and he's, you know, and seems I find to the be. British to be a little more, it's interesting you talk about British reserve, but some of the best authorized documentaries I've seen, and I think of Ozzy, I think of the Lemmy documentary. There's a few others. I find that the reserve, once they've decided to speak their piece, they don't filter it. They just come out and they say it.
In all your years of interviewing people in the music world, who have you found to be the most honest, just open? We can talk about anything.
Yeah, I mean, Ozzy's up there. You know, you ask him a question. Dave Grohl's like that. He's a little more polished about it, but he definitely will do that. You know, you catch people at different times. Stevie Nicks, I think of. I've spoken to her at times when she's been extremely guarded, and then at times when she's been just wide open about things. And I guess, you know, a lot of it is the longer you know somebody and the more times you've done it, the more open they're likely to be.
Who's the most guarded?
The most guarded? You know, maybe Donald Fagen, Steely Dan, you know, comes to mind. There are a lot that are, you know, have the gift, and Taylor Swift can be like this. And Mick Jagger, Paul McCartney can be like this. They have a way of telling you not a lot, but saying it in such a way that you feel like you're getting into their innermost soul.
Really?
There's a sincerity to their guardedness that makes you feel like you're getting something. And then when you look at it after you're done and you're transcribing, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, I didn't get as much as I thought.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, is she
can be like that too. He says a lot, and he says a lot of good stuff, but he knows how to set his agenda, and he will tell you what he wants to tell you almost regardless of what you ask.
Bruce does.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has a new...
So he's got a an album coming out.
He does, yeah. They just announced this yesterday, a new album called Letter to You. The single is out. 12 tracks that he recorded in 5 days with the E Street Band at his home studio in New Jersey. He was, and he's gone on record as saying, I've never done a record like this where we just set up and played, did an overdub or anything like that. So that's got fans, you know, really excited. The other thing that's got people excited is 9 of the songs are recently written, but 3 of them date back to the early 70s. Janie Needs a Shooter, Song for the Orphans, and If I Was the Priest. And these are songs that have appeared on bootlegs and that he's played live but never released. So people are kind of geeked about this.
So this should be a kind of a rockin' album, not like any kind of morose black and white photography,
Nebraska.
Desolate country.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure some of these songs are, you know, have some mood to them, but, you know, the Letter to You, the title track that we're hearing now, is certainly upbeat. So, you know, hopes are we're going to get a, you know, a real East Street Band kind of album.
Okay, so what are the chances Bruce Springsteen unhorses Taylor Swift from the number one spot in the pop charts?
Not going to happen.
No?
Not going to happen. So what you refer to is Taylor is the first artist in 4 years to have an album spend 6 weeks in a row at number one on the Billboard 200. It's been there. This is the eighth. It's just completing its eighth week. That's the first one since Drake back in 2016. To do that, and we'll see how long it goes. Adele had a ten week run, you know, back in 2015 into 2016, but that was non consecutive. So Taylor notches seven. You know, we're gonna be in record setting territory here, at least for recent history.
And now the bad news for Taylor Swift looks like she's headed back to court, right?
Yeah, this lawsuit over Shake It Off. She was accused of plagiarizing. You know, the song by 3LW called Player's Gonna Play. I'm sure I just butchered that. But lyrically, you know, there are a circuit court has ruled that this case, which had initially been thrown out in 2018, the circuit court is saying there are enough lyrical similarities. The case should probably be heard, and we'll wait and see, because a lot of cases aren't being heard right now. You know, this is not an essential case, so it may not be heard until sometime well into 2021. But it is going to go forward.
Between Led Zeppelin and Taylor Swift, we're going to keep the courts busy, aren't we, with figuring out if this song was stolen or not.
You always do. There's a lot of low-level stuff that you never really hear about that, you know, either gets dismissed or settled, you know, before it can make any news. So.
Well, before we had Taylor Swift, there was this lovable Australian girl, Helen Reddy, who made her way to the American shores and took America by storm.
She roared, you would say.
She roared into the storms. You're right, exactly.
And she is the subject of a new biopic called I Am Woman. That is, it actually premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival like a year ago this week. And it's now rolling out in theaters where they're open, but also on-demand platforms. It's an Australian production. Unju Moon was the director, and it's good. It's nice. It's very much along the lines of a Hallmark or what's the other Lifetime channel movie. It has that kind of feel to it. It does delve into, you know, her relationship with Jeff Wald, who was her husband and manager, and became just a vicious, vicious coke fiend.
What?
During their marriage.
What?
Helen, Jeff.
Wow. This might be worth watching now. I had no idea.
Like I say, there's very much a Lifetime vibe to it.
Vicious coke fiend.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't heard coke fiend described as vicious often. I like that.
No, he definitely was. And he has owned it, you know, in his life. Once he cleaned up, you know, he's owned it. And so he authorized the movie as much as Helen Reddy and her family did. So it's nice. You know, I'm sure for a lot of people, if you watch it and you know Helen Reddy for I Am Woman, maybe Delta Dawn, you do learn that there's more to it than that, and you kind of get a little more respect for who she was as a vocalist, as a performer, and that there was a little more artistry there.
You know, who did Delta Dawn better, Helen Reddy or that drunken hillbilly Tanya Tucker?
Tanya Tucker. you know, I kind of favor the Tanya Tucker version myself for the reasons you just named. But that said, you know, I totally understand why Helen Reddy had the bigger hit with it.
I would like to shove all other questions out of the way and get to kind of the bottom of the list. Aaron Carter makes porn movie debut. Why?
kind of an attention getter, didn't you? So Aaron's party, as we would say, is a little different now. He made his porn debut last week.
Wait a minute. What are we talking about here?
Pardon?
What are we talking about, porn movie debut?
This isn't some joke. This is really...
This is real. He's a porn actor now. He's on Cam Soda is the platform.
Oh, what?
I say that loosely. He is, you know, he filmed himself. Apparently, this is a self-directed film. He's showering and playing the guitar nude. I don't see anything mentioned here about actual sex, but you know, $27 a month gets you, you know, onto the site and onto the platform.
Holy cow!
And you get to see Aaron Carter do porn.
Well, let's try and rinse that
out
of
our
hair.
Well, that was like, that wasn't what I was expecting
to
hear.
Hard to know where to go from there.
No, I do know where to go. We'll talk about Geddy Lee, who is alive.
Who's alive, yeah. The couple of big rumors got, you know, were straightened out on, you know, on social media this week. So there was, Geddy Lee was trending on Twitter, and everybody was worried that he was dead. So Geddy came out and, you know, posted his own tweet saying, you know, telling everybody that he gulped when he saw that he was trending too. But he says, I asked my dogs, and apparently I'm a bit boring, but otherwise fine. Apparently, a sports writer in Toronto had made note of what we talked about a couple weeks ago, the Geddy Lee cardboard cutouts at the Toronto Blue Jays games. But you know, Twitter with all of its machinations and everything, you know, took it and ran with it, and everybody thought Geddy was dead. So the other big rumor being straightened out is Janie Van Halen, Eddie's wife. She took to social media to shoot down any rumors that she's been tweeting on Eddie. The red flags, I guess, started to be raised when Janie and her dancing partner Louis Martinez began trending. And
wait, hold on. What does Janie Van Halen do where she has a dancing partner?
She is a pro dancer. She has a ballroom dancing lessons business.
Really?
As well as a pro wrestling business. So she and Louis do get, you know, they do post pictures of themselves out there, and I guess some of the Van Halen fans decided this meant she was cheating. So she said, no, you know, Eddie is still my husband.
Oh,
since she
said, I'm not cheating on Eddie, that's it, right?
Probably. hate to be the one to say that, but, you know, could well be. But she came out just to say that, you know, she and Louis are business partners. She and Eddie are husband and wife, and their relationship and life together is private. Hashtag don't get it twisted. Hashtag just so you know.
She's wife number two, correct? For Eddie?
Yes, she's after post Valerie.
Okay, if you had to rank them, would you take Valerie or would you take Janie, who's number one?
In what way would you? Are you asking me about taking them?
Is she a stunt woman also?
I don't know if she was a stunt woman. I know she, you know, I know she does the dancing and some wrestling stuff, and she came to Eddie as a publicist, and you know, started doing his you know, that kind of work. And
how long has he been married?
They've been married a long time.
Yeah, because Eddie in some of these pictures looks like old, long-haired Eddie. I mean, he's not the gray, short-cropped Eddie.
I know they were married from before the reunion with David Lee Roth, and I think even before that.
Now, I know
Valerie Bertinelli has a cooking show now.
She does.
Yeah, on Food Network.
Yeah.
I actually watch it every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the reruns with Wolfie was on recently.
No, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. She's okay. Has Eddie got it dialed in again? Because he looks fairly normal in all these pictures. And Sammy Hagar says he'll never work with him again. He's so insane.
Nobody. Eddie's a real mystery because you hear things about him being on death's door, and you know that the cancer is really bad. And then you see pictures, you know, whether it's, you know, the ones, you know, Janie posts with him, which aren't many, or you know, when Wolfie shot him at the Tool show, you know, thinking, you know, helping a fan take a selfie, which was funny, but you know, and he looks good and healthy and engaged. And when he did the session for, I think it was the Grammy Museum, you know, last year, and you know, he was really good. So nobody knows, and it doesn't seem like Van Halen the band is in any hurry to do anything.
So it doesn't really matter to anybody if he's pulled it together or not, because he's not working at the moment.
Exactly.
All right. Cool and the Gang co-founder passed away this week.
Yeah. One of the Bell brothers passed away. You know, this was just earlier in the week, and I'm scrolling so I get all the details right for you. But let's see. So this was Ronald Calice Bell. You know.
I think the only member I could name of Cool and the Gang was Robert Cool Bell.
Robert Cool Bell.
Yeah. Right. He was.
Yeah, this is his brother. He died on September 9th, age of 68, undisclosed causes in the Virgin Islands. And, you know, he was a co-founder of the band, co-wrote Celebration, you know, Get Down on It, Ladies Night, Jungle Boogie, you know, all the big hits. He was a key member of the band.
Those dudes sold some records.
They were much bigger than you realize.
Right.
They were, because they just had this great run, especially during the 70s and then into the 80s. And, you know, Celebration is a gold mine. You know.
Yeah. I bet the royalty checks for that are still pretty substantial every year.
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so, assuming they own it. And as far as I know, they do.
I hope they do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have a lot with, you know, the real trend now is for some of these long-lived acts, you have these, they're basically investment companies, you know, and funds buying their song catalogs, and they use those, you know, as, you know, for the investment package.
Yeah, it's a ton of money.
And there's some good ones, I mean, that are doing very well with it.
All right, where do you want to finish this week? Because we're just about out of time.
We're just about out of time, so where do we finish? This is a cool one. Jimi Hendrix has got some great stuff coming up in November. His estate has been real good at putting things out. So November 20th is going to be a Blu-ray, DVD, CD package of the movie Music, Money, Madness, Jimi Hendrix in Maui. And this is about the legendary Jimi Hendrix experience trip to Maui that got them ensnared in the ill-fated Rainbow Bridge movie by their manager at the time. And it also includes a CD of them playing the Maui Festival, you know, while they were out there. But I'm really anxious to see the documentary because the Rainbow Bridge thing was such a fiasco.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. What is
that? Is it worse than the Fire Festival?
You know, I mean, that's a whole different level. This is this is just one artist's misstep. And but it is going to be interesting to see what that's all about.
All right, football. What am I doing that one for? Football got started again last night.
Watched it last night.
How excited are you about the Detroit Lions season?
You know, I mean, you're always excited at the beginning of a Detroit Lions season. And the second week of a Detroit Lions season, you're usually not as excited.
Okay. You're from Pittsburgh originally. How excited are you?
I'm always excited about a Steelers
season. It doesn't
matter what they look like. It's a Steelers season.
Well, you've got two Watts on the team this year.
Yes. Yeah, it's a double Watt.
Yeah.
No, and I was able to draft Roethlisberger as my fantasy quarterback.
Coming off,
how many years has he been in the league now?
It's got to be like 14.
Yeah, he's been around a while.
Oh,
He's coming off an elbow surgery.
He was my first round pick. You know, but by the time we picked a quarterback, he was there.
Well, the Steelers have the Giants and Detroit has
the Bears. Mitchell Trubisky will be coming to. They're in Detroit this week, right?
They are.
They're at Ford Field.
They are
so.
At an empty Ford Field.
Yeah. Well, they're all. Nobody's
is
going.
I haven't looked. Is Lambeau?
Well, the Packers are in Minnesota.
Oh, that's right.
So
and they're going to be empty. All the indoor stadiums are empty.
But Kansas City got seven. Okay, so if it's got a roof, nobody gets in.
That seems to be what's going on now.
All right. Because they had 17,000 in Kansas City last night.
Right. So the open air, some of the open airs are doing, you know, significantly reduced crowds.
All right. And I thought I hated playing the Tigers until just 2 days ago.
Until Wednesday.
I don't know what happened there, Gary. But it was...
You know, the ball went out of the park a lot. That's what happened. That was painful.
On your end, it was.
The Tigers won the day before.
They did. So, all right, Gary, we're out of time.
Have a great weekend.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Gary Graff, our music expert.